Okay, well, we're going to begin a study over the next few weeks, several weeks, called Let's Begin in 2010. Let's Begin in 2010. And today's subtitle is Hearing Clearly. Hearing Clearly. And we've just left 2009 and we've just entered 2010. How many here are excited about the start of a brand new year? Anybody out there excited? All right. You know, maybe some of you, like myself at this time, at the beginning of the year, are a little anxious on the inside. Like, you know, what does 2010 hold for me? Maybe you're a little nervous. Will my time be used productively this year? Will I fulfill the God-given goals for my life in 2010? And I get a little bit of anxiety like that at the beginning of a year. I'm feeling like that right now, but I believe that God is going to speak to me at the beginning of this year, and He will speak to you as well. Amen? And maybe some of you here today are not anxious about the start of a brand new year. Maybe some of you out there today feel like you're just taking up space. Maybe you feel like you're just existing. But I'm here to tell you today that in this world, friend, you are not a spare part. You have a purpose in this world. God has a divine purpose for you in the body of Christ. You're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a purpose. God has got something for you to do. You may have been sitting around for months, just twiddling your thumbs, taking up space. But God has got something very specific for each and every single one of you to accomplish this year. Now think about this. Oftentimes, the way you begin a thing determines how it ends. As well as you begin a thing determines how well it ends. And it goes the same way with years. If you start off a year well, it will end well. You know, for instance, some of you today may need a better paying job by the end of 2010. Maybe you're wanting to make $10 an hour by the end of 2010. So what do you need to do at the beginning of 2010? You need to start applying for jobs and interviewing and be faithful and diligent at applying for jobs and interviewing and being faithful to your employer. So that by the time you get to the end of 2010, you can accomplish that goal of a better paying job. All right? Maybe for some of you, you want more finances in your savings accounts by the end of 2010. How many here can use a little more money in their bank accounts? Let's say, for instance, you want to have $1,000 in your bank account, your savings account, by the end of 2010. You've got to start doing something at the beginning of 2010 for that to happen. You've got to save approximately $84 a month, more or less. If you start saving that in October, that $1,000 goal is not going to happen. You getting the picture here? Is that making sense? You know, maybe you want to touch more lives with your own life. Maybe you want to share the gospel here on the streets of downtown Tulsa. Maybe you want to share the gospel with 100 people, for instance, by the end of 2010. And lead 100 people into relationship with Christ. Well, if you break that down into 12 months, that's about 8 or 9 people a month. But if you start doing that in October or November of 2010, guess what? Your 100 mark may not be reached. You've got to start doing something at the beginning of the year for the goal to be reached at the end of the year. How many want their year to end with satisfaction and success?
Amen.
Everybody, right? You've got to start doing something at the very beginning of this year for your year to end with success, prosperity, and satisfaction. I'm going to give you a personal example from my own life. In 2008, back in 2007, we were ministering every Monday night at a homeless shelter here in downtown Tulsa. I won't mention the name of the shelter. It was an awesome ministry. I loved it. We had a team of people working with us. But I received news in February of 2008 that door of opportunity was being closed. And I was pretty much crushed. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. They've just closed the door for me and others to be ministering on a weekly basis to these people here in downtown Tulsa. So I decided that I was going to do something. I wanted 2008 to end well. I wanted to minister to quite a few people. I wanted to hold a number of services. So what did I begin doing at the beginning of 2008? I began looking for opportunities, other shelters that I could minister in here in downtown Tulsa. And I was just talking to different people and just diligently looking, and the day center opened up to us. We minister there on the third Sunday at 2 p.m. every month. And John 3:16 opened up to us as well. Praise God for that. So we minister every Monday at 4:30 and on the last Wednesday chapel of the month. So you've got to be diligent in the beginning of the year for good things to happen at the end. Let me ask you this. How many want a successful end of 2010? Well, you've got to get direction in your life. And you know what? There's many voices out there trying to speak into your life. There's the voice of the media, right? There's the voice of family and friends, you know, saying this is the thing you should do for 2010. This is a good goal for you to accomplish this year. But how many here know that good is the enemy of best? You know, a good goal is the enemy of a God goal. In my life, I want to accomplish the God goal for my life. How about you? Not just a good goal. We want to do what God is wanting us to do this year. And God has some goals for you to accomplish this year. Whether it be the better paying job, or increased ministry, or more finances in the bank. God has got something for you to accomplish this year. But there's something that we've got to do in order for this to be one of the best years of your life. And in doing that, we're going to study the conversion of Saul in Acts chapter 9. How many here know about Saul in the New Testament? Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Let's read verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Remember, Saul was breathing out threats against the Christians. He was a persecutor of Christians. So let's pick it up in Acts 9, 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Verse 5. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." Let's look at verse 6 of Acts 9. Let's look at it a little more closely. Jesus says to Saul, "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." There's an understood question from Saul to Jesus in verse 6. Say it again. There is an understood question from Saul to Jesus in verse 6. What's that question? Because Jesus said, "Get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." So what was Saul asking Jesus?
What must he do?
Exactly. Jesus, what are you wanting me to do? And in reply, Jesus says, "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." And as you read on in Acts chapter 9, you find out that God is speaking at the same time to Ananias. Ananias lays his hands on Saul. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit and the scale fell off Saul's eyes. But friends, I think that's the same question you and I need to be asking Jesus at the start of this year. The understood question in Acts 9:6 that Saul asked Jesus. Jesus, God, what are you wanting me to do with my life this year? Jesus, God, what goal do you have for me to accomplish in 2010? You know, when you ask God a question like that, "God, what are you wanting me to do with my life?" What is that? What is that question? That question is it's a prayer. Right? What is prayer? Prayer is two-way communication with God. You speak to God, right? You bring Him your request, your question, and then God does what? He replies. He speaks to you. Is that making sense? So basically, that question is prayer. Let me tell you this. If at the beginning of this year you ask that question, "God, what is it that you want me to do with my life this year?" I guarantee that God will respond to that question. Say it with me today. "God, what are you wanting me to do this year, 2010, with my life?" Beyond the shadow of a doubt, God will speak to you. He will reply. God will respond. The question is, how does God respond? How does God speak? So we're going to talk for the next few minutes about clearly hearing the voice of God for your life this year. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Talks about the great prophet Elijah. He had just had these false prophets of Baal slaughtered. Okay? And now he's running from Jezebel, the queen of Israel. And so he goes to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, and he goes into a cave and spends the night there. So let's pick it up in 1 Kings 19, verse 10. 1 Kings 19:10. The word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? We're backing up just a scripture. He replied in verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the winds. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. So God was not in the wind, would you agree? He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. What was God in? How did God speak to Elijah? With that... What is it? The still, small voice with that gentle whisper. And guess what? God still speaks today with a still, small, gentle voice of peace, like He did with Elijah. Now, how many here are needing a green light in some area of your life? You've got a question that you're posing to God at the beginning of this year. You might have a question. God, what are you wanting me to do? If God is giving you the green light, if God is giving you the okay, guess what? You'll hear that still, small voice of peace on the inside that Elijah heard. God is no respecter of persons. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who spoke with a still, small voice of peace thousands of years ago still speaks the same way today. So if God is giving you a green light, He's saying, go ahead, this is the path, walk in it, you'll feel peace on the inside that surpasses any human understanding. Let me give you a little personal story here. How many remember the storm that hit Asia back in 2004? December of 2004. It was a tsunami. It devastated many Asian nations. So it messed up the country of India pretty bad. And I sensed on my heart that God was telling me to go and do some tsunami relief in South India. And so I put together a team of four people, two older people from California, a friend of mine, and myself. And we were to go out in the summer of 05 to bring tsunami relief, to bring the gospel. But the night before we flew out to India, I received a call from this older gentleman. And he said, Jonathan, I've had a medical emergency. The doctor is telling me at this time not to travel to India. And my mind started playing games with me at that point, going left and right, up and down. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, God, did I miss it? Was I not supposed to be going to India? Should I reschedule it? God, what is going on here? Should I just not go at all to South India? I lost two team members, husband and wife. But the still small voice of God spoke to my spirit, giving me the green light. He was saying, go ahead and do it anyway. So the two of us the next morning flew out to South India. And guess what? We brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to a village who had never heard the gospel before. Everybody in that village was saved. We brought tsunami relief. It was an awesome experience. We got to teach in a Bible school there in South India. God gave me the green light. If He can do it with me, He can do it with you. Do you agree today? Amen? All right. You'll have peace inside if God is giving you the green light. Now, if God is not giving you the green light, if God is giving you the red light and God is saying, no, this is not the way I want you to go, guess what? You'll have no peace deep down on the inside. If there's a certain path you're thinking about taking, And God is saying, no, I don't want you to take that path. You will not have peace on the inside. You see, we've got to distinguish between our own minds, the voice of our minds, and the voice of God. As I said earlier, our minds may tell us, this might be a good thing to do this year. This might be a good place to move to. A good educational path to take. You know, a good vehicle to buy. But on the inside, God is telling you, no, that's not the way I want you to go. He's giving you the red light. Just recently on Christmas Day, I have a story here about a friend of mine that he was recounting to me on Saturday. He and his wife and his son went out to Chandler, Oklahoma for Christmas Eve to visit part of his wife's family. And he was really anxious about getting back home to Bixby Christmas Eve. And his wife was begging him not to go back home Christmas Eve. They started out, but it was too rough, and they turned back around and went to her grandmother's house in Chandler. And so the next day, he was just itching to get back to Bixby where he lives, which was Christmas Day. And they're driving home from Chandler to Bixby. And he says there was this semi, this 18-wheeler parked on the side of the road. It was stuck. It was just there on the shoulder, but it was 4 feet over into the road. Part of it was on the shoulder, part of it was on the highway. So to make a long story short, he pretty much hits an ice patch. Okay? And his car starts at 55 to 60 miles an hour. He's going into the rear of this 18-wheeler. And he said his life just flashed before his eyes. His wife's life flashed before her eyes. And they hit. They got the nose of their vehicle. It crushed it bad. His wife had some physical trauma. His son's eyes rolled back into the back of his head. He was sleeping at that time. They thought their son had died. They life-flighted him to St. Francis in Tulsa, and he's fine now. He's doing good. I saw him Saturday night. But you know what he told me? This is what he said. He said, Jonathan, he said, earlier that day, Christmas Day, I sensed inside, the voice was speaking to me, telling me not to go home Christmas Day. And I disobeyed it. I did it anyway. But praise God, they're still living today. God is so gracious, isn't he? You know, he really could have avoided that accident if he had listened to the red light that the voice of the Spirit was giving him on the inside. It's the same way with us, friends. If you listen to what God is saying to your spirit with that still small voice, you will be blessed in your life. But if you disobey what God is speaking to you, you will not be blessed. You may run into some rough times, like my friend on Christmas Day. Making sense? So one of the ways that God speaks to us is how? With the still small voice, right, of the Holy Spirit speaking to whom? To our human spirits, right below our chest. So the first way that God speaks is how? With the small, still voice of peace. That's right. The second way, and many times God will speak to us this way, is with His written Word. Turn to Psalm 119. Verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist writes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And at the beginning of this year, your path might be a little dark. You might be in some confusion about what to do in 2010. Let the Word of God be the light for your path in 2010. God's Word wants to speak to you, friend. God wants to speak to you through His written Word. But for God to speak to you through His written Word, you've got to have the written Word stored up where?
In you.
On the inside of you. How do you store up the Word of God on the inside of you? By reading it, not once a month, not once every 2 months, but reading it how often? Reading it consistently. Reading it every single day. Thy word have I stored up in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's in Psalms.
Jesus says in the New Testament, old men will have dreams and young men will see visions. He talks to you in dreams and visions.
That's good. That's good. But God wants to speak to you through His written Word. But friends, I'm here to tell you today, and I know maybe some of you are going to goal to read the Word of God consistently in 2010. Don't just dream about it. Write this goal down and follow through with it Start doing it. Start reading God's Word day after day after day. He wants to speak to you through it. Now, last week, I spoke on peace to men. And one of the parts of the message was this. It was on peace in human relationships, being in peace with other human beings. Paul writes about this in Colossians 3:15. We talked about this last week. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, right? In your life. And he's talking about peace, harmony in human relationships. And the very next day, I got tested on my message. I was talking to a friend, and we got into a heated debate. Just started going back and forth, and I got a little loud, was yelling at her a little bit. And at the end of it, I apologized to her. I said, I'm sorry. I said, it was like God spoke to me through His written word. Remember what you preached yesterday on Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So I apologized, and I said, I'm sorry. You know what? I need to practice what I preach. And I apologize, and what I taught last week was WWCD, what would Christ do? He would lay himself aside to maintain the peace. And so anyway, I'm just trying to tell you that, to tell you that God was speaking to me through His written word to have peace with that person from Colossians 3:15. And that may be one of God's goals for you this year. Maybe to have more peace and harmony with other human beings, friends, family in your life. And God's Word clearly states to have peace and harmony. There's so many things that God's Word wants to speak to you. But you've got to read His Word. You've got to be in it on a consistent basis. Not just once in a while, but on a consistent basis. Friends, God has got something great for you this year. You know, your question to God might be this. God, are you wanting me to move from this shelter this year? And if He's giving you the green light, you'll have peace on the inside. God, are you wanting me to move to another city this year? And if He's saying yes, you'll have that peace. If He's saying no, you won't have that peace. You might be saying, God, I need to get off this chemical addiction. Help me. And God will give you strategies. He'll give you His peace on the inside. Do this, this, and this to get off this chemical addiction. You know, you may have so many different questions for God. God, should I take this educational path? Should I start this job? Should I begin this career? If God is saying yes to you, guess what? You'll have peace on the inside. If He's saying no, don't go that way, you won't have any peace deep down on the inside. Amen? Amen. Is that making sense? So how many of you have questions here today for God concerning your life in 2010? How many want to do something really great for God with your life this year? How many? How many are not here just to exist and take up space? Amen. Then start talking to God, friends. Like Saul did in Acts 9:6. Jesus, what are you wanting me to do? Go into the city and it will be told you what you must do. Amen? So the first way that God will speak to us is how? With the still small voice of peace. And the second way is through His, primarily is through the written word. Amen? I want to have Kevin come up here for a second and talk about how God spoke to him concerning his life.
Beginning of this new year, 2010, right? I mean, 2010, amen?
Amen.
Okay, now how did I start my new year? With obedience, okay? The word came to me through another brother about being obedient, doing a particular task for God to release His blessing upon my life. And that's exactly how we began the new year. I and my wife. And through that obedience, we've been blessed. I've even seen an increase of ministry for the last 24 hours. And an increase in finances. But you know what? I only want to point out one thing to you, which is important. Job was blessed in his latter years greater than his former years. All right? I know you had a Job experience, and you're thinking, well, God blessed Job so quickly. No, it took his latter years. So he had to stand in obedience to what God spoken to him in his heart through those lean years to have the increase. So some of you need to be obedient to the Word for your latter years that are now to receive your increase. Stop being in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. He will bless you. He will protect you. All right? He does love you.
Amen.
Amen. Be obedient to His Word.
As you said, it's more than just hearing the still small voice of the Spirit. In addition to hearing the still small voice of the Spirit, you've got to do what? You've got to act upon what the Spirit of God is saying to you. You've got to obey. Amen? Obedience brings God's blessings.